right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, as we've got a Hoosiers game in the books last night and a road loss at Nebraska. Nebraska looking for a top four spot in the Big Ten and waiting until Friday to play their first game in the Big Ten tournament. If they can pull that off, and they're very close to doing so. The Hoosiers, meanwhile, they have their four-game loss or winning streak, rather, broken. And now look forward to senior night, Friday night at home against Ohio State, who has had a little bit of stumbles here of late. So the Hoosiers with one more opportunity before the Big Ten tournament, which is next week, a week earlier than normal, of course, and being held in Madison Square Garden. But Glass, they go on the road. They face a tough Nebraska team that had just lost a tough road team, or road game, rather, at Illinois. And an ugly friend of ours from past years reared its head, and that is the turnover. 18 in two games against Illinois, but had not had more than 13 in any other Big Ten games. 19 against Nebraska on the road at the worst time possible when you need a road game late in the season. It showed up again, and it hasn't been a trend. But this is a bad one to pop up at a bad time, and you got to hope it's not a trend going forward.
Well, and also the three-point shot, 3 of 14, that's something you can't do on the road as well. And Archie Miller articulately pointed out in his 2 minutes and 5 seconds of press conference last night, 19 turnovers, and what was the other great number here on second?
Only 9 offensive, free throws.
Offensive rebounds, 19. So yeah, there's 38 extra possessions for Nebraska. And you're not going to win. The defense Indiana played wasn't terrible. It was just that
especially in the first half.
And look at the three-point shooting again, 27%. That was a huge problem earlier in the year. Yep. So my angle on this is you're never cured, but you can treat it. And you had 19 turnovers in game one. What's the record now? 29 game later, you get 19 more turnovers again.
Yeah.
So it happened to start the year. And you saw some of the things that you saw early in the year that drove Archie Miller crazy. Come back again last night, and I think you have to give Nebraska some credit. There was a couple – everybody on Nebraska's team seemed 2 inches taller than anybody on IU's team last night. They were a tip rebound better. They got to every loose ball that much quicker. They were on their toes. It just seems like everything that Indiana tried to do last night was a struggle, and Nebraska didn't play flawlessly. Let's not take that the wrong way either, but they made enough plays, enough winning plays, where their 14 turnovers didn't matter. It didn't even seem like points off turnovers, 26 to 13. Well, there's 13 of them right there.
Yeah.
So when you go on the road, we've always talked about this, even when you win or lose, you check those boxes off. Nobody worries about any of these margins when you win, but you have to keep it, paying attention to them, because they don't go away, and they don't go away forever. But what Indiana, we talked about this on Monday, their roster hasn't changed. Their personnel hasn't changed. It's been shuffled differently, and it's created some better results. But when it comes down to it, at tight plays in the game, I mean, people are bemoaning Juwan Morgan only having 13 points and 9 rebounds last night. I mean,
well, we talked about that on Monday.
That's how high he has set the bar for himself recently.
And clearly teams are focusing much more on
wouldn't
him.
You?
And he does. He looks tired. I mean, and again, same thing. Wouldn't you, with how many minutes and how much of a load he's been asked
more
to
last
have?
Night. And the point is, wouldn't you make anybody besides Juwan Morgan and Robert Johnson beat you? Absolutely right. And last night, you knew Indiana was in trouble. The first sign of it was the first double-figure scorer was Justin Smith off the bench.
Yep.
And if that's the case, that's great news for Justin Smith and great news for his development.
He's been playing well recently.
Justin Smith had 20 at Minnesota. He had 15 at Iowa, and he had 16 last night. So freshmen on the road in the Big Ten are supposed to struggle. Well, no one told him that. Now, he's not played perfectly on the road. He didn't play very well at Ohio State and Michigan State. But when I can rattle off three of those performances, those stick out like sore thumbs.
He was in the right spot all night long. What you want.
It was. And he gave them a spark. You could see when he came in the first half, boom. Indiana got their act together from being down 9-4, got back in the game, led for the first time at 4-3 in 17-16, 19-16, because he's given them some oomph. He's given them some stuff. What he does that Freddie McSwain and Zach McRoberts can't do is score.
Yeah.
That's the plain and simple part. Indiana's problem last night was threefold. Number one, you had your old friends visiting, turnovers and missed threes.
Yep.
Number two, you had the four-man backcourt have one of the four show up. You can't do that. You cannot have Newkirk, Green, and Durham, they can't be over. One of those two guys minimum has to fire because you're hoping Johnson's already firing.
Right.
So you're 0-3 in that carousel. So you only had one of your backcourt four that fired. And then obviously nobody's scoring more than 4 points other than the three guys that got double figures. When Indiana's imbalanced, they're not terribly difficult to beat.
Yeah.
You turn it over all day. You can't shoot threes. You have no sparks outside of your two best players and one guy off the bench. They're easy to guard. They're easy to slow down, and Nebraska took advantage of all that. And that was the keys last night. Look at all the guys that scored for Nebraska. 8, 13, 11, 15, 7, 4, 3, 5. Indiana didn't have a guy with 5, didn't have a guy with 7, didn't have a guy with 8. It's easier to play when you're harder to defend. And I talked about that on Monday about Juwan Morgan staying in the game against Iowa,
right,
and what a difference that could make. Well, it was good he played 36 minutes last night, but he can't play four positions. Robert Johnson cannot play both guard positions. Justin Smith cannot play all three roles off the bench.
Yeah.
But that's essentially what they were asked to do last evening, and that was tough. So the great guard play you saw at Iowa that Archie Miller was proud of, he said, hey, look, I'm a guard. I'm a guard guy.
Yeah,
and he was right.
Right, and he's right.
And the other side of that coin is
you're not getting it.
If the guards don't fire, it puts a lot of pressure on guys. Mick Swain, Mick Roberts, Smith.
Yeah.
Guys that aren't natural scorers.
Right.
Now, Smith's done a great job at the rim.
He's been playing well the last several games.
You know what he does? He shoots one air ball, gets it out of his system,
right,
and then he goes right to the paint and, right, and does everything he needs to do.
He had that shot again 5 minutes later. That same shot 5 minutes later in Canada without a problem.
Oh, that's the good news. Colin Hartman, he's hurt.
Yeah.
He can't help right now.
You're going to get good nights and bad
nights.
That's
it. And what was his good night?
And you're not going to get bad nights out of Colin.
No,
that's
you're just
nice going to
get productive
you're,
or unproductive.
You're not going to, yeah, exactly. You're not going to get
but
much.
But 5 minutes
out of it.
Isn't killing Indiana right. last night. The lack of him playing 20 minutes is killing Indiana.
Yeah,
that's a difference. Because you saw against Iowa, he comes in the game, blocks a couple shots, gets a couple steals, dishes.
Five assists.
Yeah. But only in like 15 minutes.
Right.
Couldn't find him in there because everybody on Nebraska was 2 inches taller, a little bit more athletic, a little bit more bad
matchups.
And
then again, I don't want to pick on Zach McRoberts. He's not supposed to be playing a lot of minutes.
Two fouls.
But five fouls in 12 minutes is, you know, he's had better nights. I want to ask you a question. This is one game. It's one game. It's one game on the road against a top four team. And I don't want to make a lot of excuses, but that's a fact. I mean, this is one of the better teams playing this year in the Big Ten. A trend of the last two games, though, both of them on the road, a couple trends. One of them is getting out-rebounded pretty significantly in both of these two games. Now, I know Iowa didn't miss much, but they got all the defensive boards for the most part. The other one is not getting to the free throw line. And are these things to look out for? Because it got masked. I asked this question on Monday. It got masked a bit on Monday by Robert Johnson hitting 9 and 12 threes.
Right.
So the answer, I think, to our question then was, yeah, a little bit. I mean, those threes certainly made up for some things that weren't going the right way. And one of them's the boards, and one of them's not going to the free throw line.
When you don't penetrate or you can't beat your man off the dribble and get into spots where they're going to foul you, and you have to shoot a lot of jump shots, that's been Indiana's death wish all year.
Yeah.
When Indiana has to shoot a lot of jumpers, things usually don't go well. And last night, not bad from the field, 45%. You always will take that on the road, but 3 of 14 from 3, we knew that's coming for the second part. Problem number two, you talk about rebounding.
You only took 14. I mean, that's the good thing.
That's
they
the good
fall
news,
in love
bad
with
news,
it.
Yeah. Right?
You'd like to make more.
Robert Johnson, they were 1-9 without Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
So that's not good. Because that's right. been the problem all year. They haven't had anybody besides Robert Johnson where you can point to.
Yep.
The two games Devontae Green had. That's fine. Problem number two, you talk about rebounding. 17:06, McRoberts, foul number two to the bench. 13 minutes on the clock, Freddie McSwain, foul number two to the bench.
Yeah.
When you don't have that, then Juwan Morgan's by himself, and then you need right. Durham to rebound, mm-hmm. Smith to rebound, Newkirk to rebound, Johnson to rebound. Who am I leaving out of that? I think I covered everybody. And Colin Hartman only gave you 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So you have Hartman, 6'7", 6'8", McSwain, who had 16 rebounds against Michigan State against that guy.
Right.
That sold me on him rebounding. And then McRoberts, who does just a little bit of everything.
No, you got two rebounds out of him.
What you had was no time of those guys on the court.
Right.
So you're playing a different system. You're playing essentially 3.5 guards. That's going to be something you give up is going to be rebounding in that just from a simple, not an effort standpoint, when you've got Roby, who's long,
right.
and you've
That's
got
physics.
Copeland, who's long, and you've got Palmer, who's 6'6",
yeah.
and you've got Shimanga, who's 6'6". He had 9 rebounds.
Yeah.
Roby had 9 rebounds. Taylor, who's Taylor? Played 26 minutes, grabbed 7 points and 7 rebounds.
Yeah.
So there you go. They're guys that were just, again, 2 inches taller, a little bit quicker off their feet. They had no second chance points against Illinois. Zero.
Wow.
0. So you think that was a point of emphasis for Tim Miles?
Yeah.
It was. Well, they only had 14, so that's not a killer. Indiana had 16, but the point was offensive rebounds 19 to 11. When Indiana had to go small, that's tough, especially when you have long guys. They're not the most. They're not the best basketball players.
Not
they're
all
them, surely
yeah.
athletic.
Yeah, they're athletic.
They're athletic because they gave Indiana problems tipping out rebounds in that first part of the half and making Indiana chase the game a little bit. But what I did like, who led at halftime?
Yeah, I mean, IU played well.
Look,
I mean, IU
they're
didn't
a
play
rock
great,
fight. They don't
but
mind
they
a
played
rock
hard.
Fight.
Yeah, they played hard in the first half, no question. I mean, 25 points in the first half given up on the road at a top four team in the Big Ten, you take that every night.
You do take it every night. And sometimes you don't have a choice either because you have to deal with foul problems. You have to deal with everything else. What we are learning is when you don't have a healthy and full complement of players, we can talk about on the pregame show as we always do. Hey, coach, how's your health look? Oh, well, great. Everybody's just got a couple nicks and bruises.
Right.
And then Hartman gives you 5 minutes.
Right.
So he's obviously more injured than that, sadly. But that's a huge facet of the issue. Nebraska shoots 31% in the first half. They shoot 15 threes and only make three.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else could you want on the road? Indiana played well. Indiana was 5-1 in fouls. The half ended 6-5 Nebraska in fouls. So they really cleaned it up after McRoberts and McSwain went out.
They turned it over 5 times in the first couple minutes.
Four at the first TV timeout.
Yeah.
So I don't even want to count up the rest. I don't want to count up the rest of those. But what Indiana is doing is they're finding a way to survive. And it's not what fans want to hear. It's probably not what Archie Miller wants to hear. But what it is, there were a couple games earlier in the year, and the first 10 minutes, the game's over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Nebraska is good enough to game over you, but this is a team, Indiana is obviously finding a way forward. And it might not be the way everybody would like it to be, where you have 8 guys scoring double figures and it's sexy and you're scoring 82 points. But this game didn't get out of control to the last 3 minutes and 30 seconds.
No, I mean, there's...
And that's the upside to it.
There is enough, I think, to like in the game.
That's it.
There are some things that are concerning me.
Yes.
And I mentioned the rebounding because this has been a team for the last couple years now that even their guards have gotten into the rebounding mix. And
yeah.
Earlier this year, much of this year, they've been good.
Well,
I mean, again,
Robert
Michigan
Johnson,
State, you go against one of the best rebounding teams in America and you blow their doors off. You win that battle by 20-something.
And I think you're...
So, I mean, they've done it.
You're not wrong. Robert Johnson had 6 rebounds last
yeah.
night. Justin Smith had 8 and Morgan had 9. It's the rest.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's
got to do it.
The point is the other 5 guys that played didn't because of extenuating circumstances, it's fouls, whether it's everything else.
The reason I bring it up, because it was only 39-33, so, I mean, it's not enormous.
No.
They had 11 offensive rebounds, so, again, it's not as though they
but
did not do it.
But they're -8 on the offensive glass.
They're -6 overall, and that's 2 games straight that they're minus on the rebounding edge.
Right.
So that's where I'm looking because, I'm tying this into other things, and the other things are Freddie McSwain,
6'5",
may have hit his wall because, again, he wasn't starting until middle of the Big Ten season.
Right.
Zach McRoberts may be hitting his wall. We haven't been talking about all the great things that Zach McRoberts has filled the books with the last couple of games. I understand that. I'm just saying. This is what was helping us at one point in time. Now they're starting to dry up. You're starting to see tired legs out of Juwan Morgan. Again, makes perfect sense given the load he's taken. But then you're also seeing this on the rebounding end, too.
Colin Hartman,
that's
5 minutes.
The concern. And then if you're not getting to the free throw line, as you said, that means you're not attacking the basket as
right.
much. And if you're not attacking the basket, you're probably settling for something or turning it over.
Sure. Or you dribble for 15 seconds and decide to shoot because you're bored and you don't have anything else to do. Well, that's the other problem. When your senior backcourt is the ones in a 4-3, 4-5 point game with 3 minutes to go, throwing the ball away, jumping up in the air and tossing the ball in the other team's hands, taking bad shots, that's not going to go away. That's going to graduate. That's what's going to happen there. Because that's something that has been really good at times and really poor at times, and somewhere in the middle is probably the answer. But here's the problem. What I talked about on Monday, this roster hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm.
Archie has moved the pieces around to get it to fire at different pistons in the engine.
Right.
But we just talked about if we can't rely on 6'5" Zach McRoberts and 6'5" Freddie McSwain to rebound,
well,
when you're going up against guys that are 6'8", 6'9", against Iowa had a much bigger front court.
There's a reason they were the good plucky stories earlier in the year because they're not expected to compete with the top level of talent in this league every night.
And that's the issue.
And come out on top
the
with
issue
a couple
is
of the kids.
The roster
no question.
Is still flawed.
Mm-hmm.
And the roster is good enough and the coaching is good enough, in my opinion, to beat teams that are worse than they are.
Mm-hmm.
If Indiana played Nebraska last night at Simon Scott Assembly Hall, they would have won by 20. Because this game was absolute, it was dire.
It was not pretty.
And what was keeping Nebraska in the game?
It was not pretty.
They get a dunk every other play, keep the crowd in it.
Yeah.
But Nebraska, there was nothing when you looked at Nebraska, you said, oh my gosh, look out, here comes Nebraska.
No, they didn't. Now, didn't come out and assert themselves, no question.
But when they tipped the ball out a couple times, get the crowd all fired up, and then they missed 53 layups.
Right. No,
that's the tough part. Because on the road, you had that against Iowa. You had a 13-point lead or a 12-point lead. It came all the way back down almost to – I think it was tied at one point when McSwain hit the layup.
It was.
So you found a way to get over that hump.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Nebraska clearly has better players than Iowa.
I think they're tougher. I mean, I think they play a tougher brand of basketball. You know, we scored 34 less points.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
24 less points.
And gave up 22 less. So.
Or 27. But, yeah, I mean, clearly they got up in us a lot better than Iowa ever does.
Exactly right. And I think the issue is they have guys and they have – I don't want to say a system. I haven't watched enough of them to know what it is. But
for
they
Nebraska?
Were disappointed. I'm not so sure. They were disappointed with the result at Illinois.
No question.
And coming home, a soft landing in front of a big house. Indiana's going to come to town. We're going to circle them on the calendar and beat them again. I think we're 4-4 against Nebraska in the last 8 tries.
Yeah.
It happens. But you saw an athletic bunch. They didn't have any throwaway guys like Nicholas Bear. And who's the other? Garza, who had 11 points in 3 minutes and scored 6 for the next 34 minutes. Yeah. But, you know, they don't have guys. Bohannon ran around for 34 minutes in the Iowa game and did nothing.
And didn't do
until
anything.
He had a couple assists.
Later.
Throw the ball into Garza and, you know, he'd shoot over 6'5" Freddie McSwain and score. And then he hits a couple threes down the stretch. Nebraska didn't have any throwaway guys last night. And they got help from everywhere. And they got help off the bench. They got help at all positions. They get 16 rebounds off the bench. 16. Shamanga came in. 7 foot tall or 6'11", however big he was.
Tough.
Indiana had no answer for him. What Juwan Morgan did was great. He stood there and got in the way. Just like he had to do against Isaac Haas. Mm-hmm. Just like he had to do. So 6'7 against 6'11". I mean, at some point, you know, he's just going to grab enough rebounds to be a pest.
I think you've figured out our actual problem here.
Yeah, it's a roster, and it's been the problem all year.
The whole team is actually shrinking.
Well, when they play well, they're 6'9". When they don't play good, they're 6'9". Colin Hartman was 6'9" when he was recruited here. Now he's 6'6".
It's bad enough that they're all tired, but they are actually shrinking.
I don't think they're tired per se. I think they don't have a rotation. When you look at every box score, and Johnson's playing 36 to 39 minutes.
You're relying on two people too much to expect amazing things every night.
You watch more games than I do. I watch them on the replay, but I don't hear the sound.
Mm-hmm.
I notice when Johnson comes out, it's always the minute into the TV timeout.
Yeah, absolutely. It's to get a little extra time.
He doesn't get TV timeout break
from
7 minutes to 4 minutes.
Right.
He gets a 1 minute,
1 minute
plus the TV.
Plus you sit
the
there.
Physical timeout.
That's exactly
right. He doesn't get a segment of the TV timeout. Juwan Morgan's playing 36.
That's not unusual. I mean, Tom Crean did the
it
same kind of crap.
It is unusual because we don't have people
because he
to
can't,
spell him.
Because he can't continue on
he
the other side
be
of the break.
Fresh in the last 3 minutes of the game because he's already piled in 34, 35 minutes. So when you get to the last 3 minutes of the game, what's the first thing it goes when you're tired? Your head.
Yeah.
And what goes bad when your head goes bad? Decisions go bad.
Right.
You can always – the conditioning they go through in the summertime will push your legs through a jumper. You make one jumper, you're going to make another. He made 9 of 12 against Iowa. Think he was tired that game? No. Wasn't tired at all.
No.
Why? Because you're winning and making jump shots.
Yeah, it feels good.
But when you're down 4 or 5, all of a sudden you're a little leggy. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you're not sure, should I shoot it, should I pat? Because this goes, and the confidence goes. And you know what? When you can't spell them during the game to get them ready for the stretch, and you've done it now 17 games in a row, is it going to catch up to you? Well, I think that's partly obvious.
Yeah,
because that's the roster. That's the roster we've been talking about all year. You can't get your guys a break in the game, and you wonder why you're not Pistons firing at the end. Remember early in the year, they were 5-0 in games decided by 5 points or less?
Yeah.
Now go look that number up.
Not
now,
so
it wasn't
much.
5 last night. Remember, though, the biggest lead was 11 at 151 to go. This game was 2 points. 2 points, right? 55, 53-ish, somewhere in there with about 3 minutes to go. And then a couple decisions that weren't great and a couple plays that didn't go in and you didn't get any stops on the defensive end. You throw that in the bag, and that's how you get to 66-57. Is it the end of the world? No, it's not. If you'd have told me Indiana's going to win 4 of their last 5 before their final game of the Big Ten season, I'd have looked at you and said, I'll watch. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, there's still the question about, because we talked about this on Monday, there's still the question about whether the four-game winning streak was a little bit of fool's gold given who it was, and now you go on the road against a top-four team and you got to finish against a top-four team. You've got a home game against the top-four team coming up to make a year-end, end-of-the-year statement on senior night. So, I mean, you've still got another opportunity there, but that is still a question, I think, and there will be the question of what's this, how much gas is left in the tank until the tank is completely empty. We got to take a quick break.
On senior night, there should be plenty when there's five seniors on your roster and the last home game of the regular season. That should be plenty of reason why you should play well, and they usually have at home against big opponents.
And it's a good opportunity for them. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone of Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Some quick programming notes for you. Friday night, we've got high school basketball. It is the regular season closer for the North Cougars as they host Romeo Langford and New Albany. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk and 7:30 is tip Friday night here on WGCL. Saturday and Sunday each day we have college basketball. 11:45 a.m. is pregame for Providence at Georgetown on Saturday, and 12:45 is pregame on Sunday for Michigan State at Wisconsin. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Talking IU basketball, currently looking for a 6 or 7 seed in the Big Ten tournament. The 6 would probably be a little nicer. You get one of those bottom 4 teams coming through.
They have the tiebreaker with Maryland and Penn State, so that's what you need to know. If Penn State wins, there's nothing Indiana can do about it.
Yeah.
If Maryland wins to tie Indiana, it doesn't matter because the one game. That's the only thing you worry about in the Big Ten about tiebreakers. This nonsense about Purdue and Michigan State and Ohio State about tiebreakers. One tie, all tie for the Big Ten championship, folks. If you want to talk about seeding for the Big Ten tournament, that's one thing. But this malarkey that this needs to happen. No, they put the banner up last night at Michigan State because they have 15 wins. And if anybody would like to join them on 15 wins, they can do so. But Michigan State will have to lose to Wisconsin. We have that game for you on Sunday at 12:45. That's what it'll take. And the worst-case scenario is Michigan will be co-champion. Michigan State, excuse me, will be co-champions there. So the only thing you're talking about now is seeding. That's it. The title is Michigan State's, and if Purdue and Ohio State get a little lucky, Indiana's going to beat Ohio State, so I don't think they have to worry about that. There you go. So the Hoosiers cannot get out of where they're playing. They're either going to be 6 or 7. There is no other way, no other place to go there. And if it was a 6 seed, they will play at 9 o'clock on the March 1st.
And last game. They'll play the winner of the 11-14.
Which is Illinois or Rutgers.
Or Minnesota or wherever else all these other teams are. I'd rather play one of them than possibly Wisconsin, which would be a possible
10 seed up to the 7. I think that you don't care.
You know how Wisconsin
is. You just want to play. It is, and I think Indiana played them well. Maybe Ethan Happ doesn't get every call at the world's most famous arena.
Travel far enough, he better
Garden. Who knows?
812-333-2665 is a phone number. Let's bring in John.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good to hear from you. Are you heading to Madison Square Garden to the tournament? Or are you going to
walk? No. That is the single dumbest thing I've seen the Big Ten do. But I mean,
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. There's cash registers ringing in the background.
Yes, I know. Fred Glass and other ADs can say this is what we have to do if we want to get all this money and build all these facilities.
Good news is it's a one-year deal, and then they're back to Chicago and Indianapolis, I think, for the next 5 years. And then it's
Don't they go to Washington, D.C., or did they go there?
They already did.
They did, and they'll go, I think, after this next four-year run, 2-2, or alternate shot with Indy and Chicago. It's somewhere on the Big Ten's website if you want to look. But, yes, they will go back to Washington, D.C. at some point. But the point is the condensed schedule will no longer be condensed moving forward. It's a one-year problem. And here's Illinois' schedule. I just saw this afternoon. Illinois plays, let's see, they played last night at Michigan State. They'll play Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday. How about that? Four
Tuesday.
Games. Yeah, they played Tuesday at East Lansing.
Well, maybe they'll pull a UConn.
Yes, Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday.
4 games in 4 days or 5 games in 5 days or something like that.
Well, that's the Big East tournament. That's different. Yeah. This is a regular season. The last 7 days you're playing 4 games.
Hey, we had 7 and 18. It wasn't easy.
Oof.
Okay. I've talked to some people today that keep telling me, and I understand that Juwan Morgan's been everything anybody expected him to be.
And more.
Yeah,
you know, I just wonder what he could do if he ever stays healthy. Well, we know now he is a stud player. The difference between him and the next best player in his team, Robert Johnson, is greater than I've ever seen on any Indiana team ever.
Yep. I think that's accurate.
He's just been really, really good. And Robert Johnson's been solid. And everybody, I mean, freshman or – I mean, Justin Smith's just trying to feel his way around.
You know what? Robert Johnson probably deserves some more credit because I made the point right before you called in. When there are four guards and he's the only guy every night bringing it, he's got to do a guard and a half's job every night, mm-hmm. which is that's on the defensive end as well, and produce on the offensive end. Robert probably doesn't get as much credit as he deserves because it just doesn't look as good as Morgan does in the sense that, you know, he's getting the ball to Morgan to a degree and doing so many different other things. Nobody really pays attention to the guy playing defense on the other team as well. So, you know, Robert Johnson's going to get a little bit of a slight on that, but he's in the top 20 all-time in scoring for Indiana
in his
career. So that's the good part. But
he's a solid player.
He is. But when he, you know, he shoots 6 of 13, people are like, you know, that's only 48% or whatever, 46%. He's logging 38 minutes a night as well. He's never in foul
that
trouble.
That doesn't bother me. The 2 for 15, which is what he shot, I think, at Michigan State or Purdue, that's the thing that you just can't have. But, you know, it wasn't like he was trying. He just has to play
a ball doesn't go in. Doesn't go
in. No depth. And nobody else can make a shot other than Heath Morgan and maybe Justin Smith once in a while.
Yeah.
But the thing I wanted to talk about was I've talked to people that, well, he's just – Juwan Morgan is just so tired, he's burning out. I point out, if he's burning out right now, why is Tyra Bush just lighting it up for Indiana right now? And this team, along with Amanda Cahill and the rest of those girls, they won a game last night where they had 23 turnovers in a game.
They did. That's absolutely true.
And Minnesota got 24 more shots at the basket. When you're playing at home, that's almost guaranteed to get you a win.
Yeah. Except when Minnesota shoots 2 of 22.
Because Minnesota was 2 for 22 from the field, from three-point range. That's less than 10%.
Yep.
And Indiana shot, I think, 12 for 23. And if you take Tyra Buses out of there, I think they were still 5 for 8, which is still, you know,
yeah, Tyra was 7 of 14 last night. I've got the box score right in front of me. Minnesota 26-10 points off turnovers. That's +16 in that department. Offensive rebounds, Minnesota's +10. Yeah, they should have lost, but here's what Indiana did. In winning time, they made 5 of their last 5 shots, and Minnesota made 1 of 8.
They hit 3-pointers, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing. If you score points, and that's what Indiana didn't do in the last 3 minutes in Nebraska, I don't know why. I don't know if it was
Robert,
their legs.
Robert Johnson
better.
Goes for 36 last night. We win the game.
Right. Buss went for 37 on Saturday, 36 last night. Right. Indiana makes 5 of their last 5 field goals. Minnesota makes 1 of their last 8. So,
right, and Indiana doubled the score in the fourth quarter, outscored them by 14 points.
Right. 28-14.
They won by 12, so, you know. But it took Robert Johnson's career day and Devontae Green having a good game, a very good game, for them to win, just escape on Iowa. This
hey, remember, John, long. Remember last year this team had 7 wins with James Blackman Jr. in the league. 7 wins with mm-hmm. Thomas Bryant and James Blackman Jr. If you remember last year, triple overtime, Penn State
at the
Simon Scott Assembly Hall. Career high Thomas Bryant, career high Robert Johnson at the time, and career high Josh Newkirk. Mm-hmm. Well, all three of them had career high. The three guys had 28 or more, 27 or more, and they needed triple overtime to beat Penn State. I don't think this is anything new. I think that's why there's a new coach here because this roster is not in the spot where it needs to be. And I don't think Archie Miller's saying, well, we don't need to do anything with this. This is just great. No, he's put the chess pieces in different spots on the board, and he's elicited a response from his team. And that's, to me, his coaching. It's plain and simple.
I agree.
Yeah, he's changed the paradigm which they were working at because it wasn't working. So he's found a way to get a reaction out of his team. But as we talked about, when 6'5 Josh McRoberts and 6'5 Freddie McSwain are in there battling against 6'9 Big Ten guys, you're not going to win rebound battles all the time.
Well, and there's a reason that Josh McRoberts is paying his own or his mom.
See,
and
Josh McRoberts. Everybody calls him Josh.
That McRoberts. Should be embarrassing and an indictment for guys that are on scholarships. But that's neither here nor there now. He's playing because he's busting his tail. So
he's playing because nobody can beat him out.
Exactly. Yeah, if you give me somebody, and Archie Miller's probably saying, listen, if I had somebody that could play ahead of him and I could trust him, I'd be playing him. He doesn't have him now, and that's just kind of indictment. I get kind of amused to hear people say, "Well, they've got plenty of talent." I don't think they got plenty. I think they're
don't tell your buddy Dan Dawkins that.
Team other than Juwan Morgan and Robert Johnson.
They are not top half of the Big Ten in talent.
They're not Indiana.
They've got a couple talented players. They've got a couple talented players that aren't living up to their potential yet because they're sophomores or freshmen. They're not the roster you want to see at Indiana every year right now. They're not.
Well, there's a new coach, people. It's not hard to figure out why they have a new coach.
Yeah, and it's not Tim Priller's fault. You know, it's more than just your bottom end of your roster. It's several spots, as we mentioned here. I mean, you do have to play a walk-on. Who to credit the walk-on? He's busted his butt and earned that
last
spot.
Last year you lost.
Same with Freddie McSwain.
Last year you lost a first-round draft pick in the first week of the Big Ten season. This year you lose a 6'11 guy. Okay? You got more wins.
Yeah.
Well, Something to be said about that, folks.
That's the facts.
I just don't think it's a matter of Juwan Morgan being tired. I'm sure he is tired because he's had to play.
Well, the other thing you got to remember about Juwan Morgan, who's he guarding?
Yeah.
He's guarding all the big guys. He's guarding all those guys that are 2 inches taller than him and 30 pounds more than him. That's what's going on down there. So there is a difference.
We're talking about him being tired at Iowa where he stayed out of foul trouble and had a tremendous game, too. I mean, he played all
night. I don't think he's tired. I said that on Monday night. Dave asked me that straight up. I said, is he tired?
He looks tired to me, but I know why. I mean, the guy's playing every minute of these games for the most part, unless he's in some foul trouble. And, by the way, now he's the focus of the entire defense out there, whereas earlier in the year he was single single guarded a lot more often.
Juwan Morgan missing shots late in the game isn't tired. Juwan Morgan plays 36 minutes every night when he's not in foul trouble. So, I mean, tired is what? I don't understand what the definition
tired.
Is.
I just think he needs more help.
I think that's facts. He didn't get it last night. That's absolutely true. Yeah. They had nobody besides Justin Smith score more than 4 points in any realm, starter or off the bench. And Smith was great. He was absolutely great for the second road game in a row. Yeah. So you rely on one of the freshmen. It's like playing roulette. You spin the wheel. You get 27 minutes from Devontae Green, 28 minutes from Josh Newkirk. You get 9 turnovers. You get how many assists? 6 assists. And you get 8 points in 55 minutes. And when you spin that wheel, and Al Durham played 17 minutes and didn't score.
I mean, you've said it all the time. Juwan Morgan needs to get somebody to get him the ball.
Yeah, he can't pass it to himself.
That is part of it also. And if they're turning the ball over 19 times, then he's not getting the ball.
And Juwan had some turnovers too. He's not perfect. We're not saying he's perfect. Right. He had one turnover, so I guess he's close.
Well, the turnovers are going to happen. I mean, Tyler Miss had 7 turnovers last night against Minnesota. Yep. But if you put the ball in the basket, it magnifies your offense and it makes everything else something that you don't really notice as much. And they don't have enough shooters, and hopefully they'll have – I mean, they've got some coming in. If they get Romeo to go with that, that would be great. But right now, they're a seriously flawed team, which is why you have a new coach. And I've been impressed with the way he has not come out in the press and tried to play the game in the press. He just basically says what he thinks.
He doesn't say anything in the press.
No,
nothing.
Right. He's a very serious basketball.
He says we've got to play. That's what he said after the next time we had to turn around the Rutgers game. He said, we don't have excuses to make or to be made for having a one-day turnaround and not showing up. It's on the schedule. We got to go play it. And that was directly at people who were making the excuse the week before at Ohio State that they were tired in that particular game. Because, as he said, it's the schedule. We got to go play the schedule. So, no, he has taken it and said, no, there aren't a whole hell of a lot of excuses here. And I think everybody can appreciate that.
Exactly. And the bad part last night, a team that's been playing pretty good defense, the numbers turned out at the end of the day to look pretty good. But in the second half, Nebraska hit 14-27 for 52%.
Yeah.
That's going to get you beat more than it's going to help you win.
And as a former point guard, it's got to kill him that his point guard play has been so erratic.
Well, he hit a really good one on Saturday. So that was sandwiched
between two really, really bad games against Illinois at home and then yesterday. I mean, the sooner Robert Finese gets in here, the happier I think a lot of IU fans are going to be.
Well, and then he's going to be a freshman, so we're going to have to deal with all their freshman mistakes, all four of them next year, perhaps five. Who knows how that's going to be. So,
and is he going to have the ball more than Devontae Green?
He pounds it in the ground. I can throw Devontae Green farther than I trust him.
When Devontae gets it, he pounds it in the ground for 20 seconds.
He's a Gus Macker player. That's what he is. He's a 50% of the plays you make will help you out. 50% will get you beat.
Yeah.
And you just don't know what he's going to do next. And Panisse will start ahead of him. But somebody's got to bring him in. You don't want him playing 38, 39 minutes, do you? So somebody's got to play, you know, the point behind him. So
I think the competition for positions, just like going into this season, will be wide open. And we'll see who develops. And we'll see who pays attention. We'll see who stays all summer and works out. We'll see how Deron Davis. There's a thousand different things this Indiana team could be. But the future is much brighter today than it was maybe 9 months ago. So,
oh gosh, it's not even close. It's night and day, and no pun intended there or anything like that. But yeah, I thought better. Well, I'll let you go because you may have somebody else on the phone want to call. But I just think this idea of them being tired. Of course, they're tired, but that's not a factor in the way they're playing because I think they're in good enough shape they can handle that.
It's not a criticism of Juwan Morgan.
Well, you know what it is.
It's not. It's a criticism of anything of the rest of the team not carrying him a little bit.
It's a criticism.
He's carried them.
It's a criticism of the fan base that can't accept that Nebraska's better than Indiana right now.
Right. Well, they didn't lose
because Juwan Morgan's tired.
Here, so I mean, you better get old. If you can't accept what reality is now, you're never going to get the thing changed to your satisfaction. So
it's changing. That's the good news, John. Good job as always, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
All right, Big John, always listening and paying attention there. Yeah, Nebraska could be better than Indiana. I know that's weird to hear. They might have more pieces.
Well,
they might
have a deeper bench. That's why they're up in the top four, and we're not.
They might have that. I don't know if they have a better coach.
Would argue with that. Certainly debate that. But
that's true. But until Indiana's Indiana, they're 9-8.
Yeah.
They'll go win and be 10-8. That's better than 9-9.
Yep. And they got another opportunity for that on Friday night. 812-333-2665 is our phone. We're back in a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. Programming notes for you. Friday night, we've got high school basketball once again. It is the regular season closer as Bloomington North hosts Romeo Langford and New Albany. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk and 7:30 is the tip-off for that on Friday night. College basketball Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday, it's Providence at Georgetown, and pregame for that starts at 11:45 a.m. Sunday, it's Michigan State at Wisconsin, 12:45 p.m. for the pregame for that. And then we'll be back with you Monday, and then Texas is at Kansas Monday night, 8:45. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. So looking forward for the Hoosiers. They're in the sixth or seventh slot at this point in time. Penn State, the other team, they're jockeying with for position. But Friday night, they jockey on senior night with Ohio State. Terry has said all year long he thinks Ohio State is smoke and mirrors. I think I might be overstating it a little bit, but I get where he's coming from, and that is it's hard to believe that Ohio State is playing as well or is as good as they are playing and as good as the results they're getting. So I'll ask you, how good is Ohio State this year? Are they really as good as we've seen on occasion?
Yeah, I think you are what your record says you are. I don't think that's I think that's completely fair, and it's not fair. If I don't watch them every day, I'm not going to tell you exactly. I know how good they are, how bad they are, or anything in between. But what you do know is they've got a player of the year type candidate in Bates Diop, who's really good. You've got two or three other seniors around him that are they're pretty decent players, and Cam Williams, who can shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Dockage has obviously helped balance that ship and right that ship. They had a ton of guys leave in the offseason as well. Maybe those are the guys they wanted to leave. I don't know.
That's why they have a new coach.
I haven't been. Well, that's it. Well, Thad has had health issues as well, too. So that's part of it. You know, they got a big kid in the middle, Wesson, the freshman, who can play. So Musa Jallo from right here in Bloomington.
Yep.
So you've got a little bit of balance on it. And Jayshon Tate's a beast.
Yeah.
He's a four-year he's a letter jacket guy. He's the guy that's just, can you hurry up and graduate?
He's the guy that you point to when anybody says you can't rebound against big guys. He's 6'4", and he tears it up.
He does. He plays hard. He's smart. He knows how to get after it. So are they bad, good, or different? Well, no. I mean, if you've played this many Big Ten games.
They've lost to Penn State twice and Michigan. Their out-of-conference is Gonzaga, Butler, Clemson and North Carolina. Those are their losses out of conference.
Yeah. You can argue the team they beat was Michigan State when the Spartans went number one.
Yep.
So it's an
they
easy
one at Purdue.
You get up for that one. They did win at Purdue, and you can't argue with that either. So what's Ohio State? Ohio State's in the tailspin right now. They've lost.
Yeah.
They've lost their last two games, or they won
two
last
of their
night.
Last three.
They beat Rutgers by 100 last night on their home court. So they did their senior day and did all that. What are they playing for? They're playing for nothing. If Michigan State doesn't lose at Wisconsin, mm-hmm. they're playing for a seed in the Big Ten.
They of course won't know that because that's Sunday.
Exactly. So they have to set the measurement, set the bar there. But what I know about Indiana is every time a big hitter's walked into town, whether it's been Duke, Purdue, or Michigan State, Hoosiers have thrown some pretty good punches and taken a couple good punches as
yeah.
well. So I never look at a team, and I didn't look at this when Duke walked in and we said, well, you're just going to surrender, not going to go out and play. No, you're going to go out and play because you have everything to play for. Every year at this time, we always talk about what do you play for? It's simple. Guys that are coming back play for next year. Guys that are seniors want to go out on senior night playing great on their home court for the last time. There's a Big Ten tournament to play for. There's draft stock to play for. There's agent stuff to play for. There's a thousand things to play for.
This team for the last few years won games against high-ranked teams coming into Assembly Hall. Do they need to win this game to turn it around and not be like Purdue, Michigan State, and the Duke games where it's, hey, great effort and good job,
I don't think anybody's ever going to look back at Archie's first year and say, yeah, but you lost at home to the top two teams in the league or three teams in the league. You'd like to beat them, but what we've heard over the years as well, the signature win, we're back, and all this other garbage that goes along with beating a big team,
right.
somewhere in the middle is the answer. What I think is every time that this team goes out to play, they have a chance to win. Would it be nice to see them finally close the deal against a team like this? Absolutely. It would be no nicer than them beating Indiana State or Fort Wayne. Just don't give up 900 turnovers and play silly.
Would it look nicer to a certain recruit that's going to be in Bloomington on Friday night across town?
If he is putting a decision on one game, then he is already –
it's
out to lunch,
yeah.
And there's nothing we can do to help in that sense of things because the fans think it's one game that gets a coach fired. Fans think it's one game that gets a coach an extension. Fans think it's one performance here or there that makes a draft pick or makes a draft stock. Heck, that's not the case at all. Jaren Jackson's had a couple games in Michigan State this year where he's had 4 points.
Yeah.
You going to pass on him in the draft?
No.
Knock yourself out. Go ahead. That's the issue. What do you want from Indiana? Constant improvement. They have been better.
Yeah.
In the back end of the season, they are getting better at certain areas, and they have fallen back in certain areas because mm-hmm. that's what teams that are teetering on where they're going to go in the future are going to go.
Let's start with the simple stuff. Take care of the ball, get back on the boards.
Simple.
That was their recipe
don't
for a long time.
Don't throw the ball away,
yeah.
and don't get killed on the glass.
Yeah.
And you're at home, make the other team uncomfortable, yep. get them out of what they want to do, just like Nebraska did to you.
And they'll only have 43 senior speeches to give
yeah.
at the end of the night.
Don't worry, though. Hartman's will be really short.
Yeah, it should be. We got it all last
Remember
year.
Remember last year? Yeah,
hey,
I do. There you go.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back one Monday night to talk about what happens over the weekend, who your Big Ten champion is, and how the Hoosiers finish the season. So we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.